everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom's on the other side of the glass in the control room, making sure all the buttons are pushed, and we are coming to you loud and clear. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, October the 24th, 2014. Hope you had a great week. Having a good day. Looking forward to a big weekend. We are live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our media partners are tucsonsentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, The Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. And our newest media partner is TucsonLifestyle.com. We thank our friends over at Tucson Lifestyle Magazine for putting the Buckmaster Show a link on their homepage of their website. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon coming up will be Paul Cunningham. Mr. Cunningham is the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. He is also a council member, Democrat, representing city of Tucson in Ward 2. Joining me to question Councilman Cunningham in a few moments will be Mari Herreras, writer of the Tucson Weekly, one of the staff writers, and Dylan Smith. Dylan is the founder, editor, and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. And we welcome you to call us at any time during the hour on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show on our Facebook page. We'll be getting Councilman Cunningham on the line very shortly. Dylan, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Everything going well for you at TucsonSentinel.com?
Well, absolutely. You know, people keep doing stupid things, and we just try and type fast enough to keep up.
Mari, how are you?
Doing good, actually. I don't have Ebola. I think I'm doing really well.
Yeah, there you go. And we should point people in the right direction to Tucson Weekly, where you have a cover story.
I do.
And that all kind of broke while I was over in Southern California. That news came down real quickly, didn't it?
It did. I mean, it was expected to a certain degree, but you never know what's going to happen in the state capitol. And so, well expected, it was great news that Tom Horn, at least from our point of view, decided not to appeal.
Certainly from, the court side, it was inevitable that this decision was come down. What was the open question was how the state would react if Tom Horn would have appealed.
Oh, and a big shout out before I forget, because I know he's listening and he's a good friend of the program, Dan Scheer, who did a real nice job hosting for me last Friday on the Friday Focus interview. Okay, let's go to Paul Cunningham. Councilman Cunningham, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bill.
How's your day going?
Wonderful.
I want to start with the effort that you had put in to change the parking fine structure in the city of Tucson. The city of Tucson had some of the highest parking fines in the state. What is it now? I mean, are folks going to see a dramatic change?
I'd say it's pretty dramatic. I mean, most of them went to about 60% of what they were before, some of them as much as low as 50 or 40% of what they were before. The only one that didn't change a lot, that's a pretty dramatic amount, is if you park in a handicapped spot, and I don't really mind that one. I mean, that should be a high fine. So for me, it's a fair fine system right now. I'm actually really happy with Don Dermott and Rick Sturtz, who went on the Park Tucson Commission to kind of help get the details done. We, basically a few people called me up and said, this seems a little high. And I thought, I looked into it. I went on the internet and just kind of poked around, and I noticed, we have some pretty high fines. So then we had a formal study session to see if we could really get a sense of where we stood. It turned out we didn't stand in the right place, and we had some of the highest fines in the country. We had higher fines than New York City in some of it.
Mm.
So,
Yeah, well, I was going to say, is this a hit on the budget in any way? I mean, is there any resistance?
We don't really know. I think we're actually going to do better on it from a cash management standpoint, because what I think was happening was the fines were so high, and people would get a $190 fine, and you have to come up with that money in like 30 days. That's a lot of money. And so if you don't come up with 30 days, it balloons to a $264 fine. Mm. And then you're going into court and doing a payment plan and all this other stuff, or you just don't pay it and you're in collections. And whatever was happening, we just weren't collecting the money. So I think because it's a lower fine, people will say, oh, gee, a $40 fine, that's terrible. But then they'll actually say, here's your $40. And so from a cash management standpoint, I actually think we'll do better on this.
Okay.
The other piece is that if you get an $180 fine, one of your first inclinations is to go to court. Well, especially if you're off by an inch or, you know, 18 inches from the 19 inches from the curb instead of 18 inches, and you get a $188 fine, you're going to be a little bit, you might want to try to have your day in court on that.
And so yeah.
We had a lot of business at the court system where no money's being collected or anything, but we just have a lot of people going through that court system. So those things, I think, will end up being in the positive as far as cash management and the time resources of our city staff.
Okay.
I'm paying off one of those $260 ones myself.
Dylan Smith is with us, and Mari Herreras. Dylan, you're up to the plate with Councilman Cunningham.
Let's talk pensions. You know, this report came down this week from the pension board saying that Tucson is going to have to play some serious catch-up. How do we get into this situation?
Well, some of these decisions have been made about 20 years ago, and it depends which set of pensions. You know, we have five different pension setups. So we have a fire foundation. We have the fire pension. That pension is upside down. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Love the firefighters, love what they do for us. Their pensions are killing us. We're committed to, between police and fire, north of $30 million a year, and it will only go up every year to subsidize that fund. We're having to match two or three, maybe in some cases four times, what the employees themselves are putting in to keep that pension afloat. It's decisions that were made 20 years ago. I don't know what actuary said that a 20-year pension with 2.5 multiplier and no magic 80 and no age requirement on the back end would ever pay for itself. I don't know who said that. I think they were working under the assumption that we continually add police officers. If we would have added 100 police officers every year in perpetuity, then yeah, the pension system would have been solvent. So there's your first problem. Then we've got TSRS. Now TSRS is on a, right now, like 27-year or 43-year, can't remember exactly, plan that will make it solvent. It may even come faster than that, depending on how many 5%ers actually retire. We have people in the pension system that only have to pay 5% of their salary into the pension system. Now, my proposal is this. I think we should make it where if you get a raise from this point forward, whatever the difference that raise is, you have to pay, you know, 6.5% or 7%, what everybody else is paying. You can be locked in on your current salary at 5%. Because that's what we promised. But anything above and beyond that, you've got to pay 8% on. Now, that doesn't mean what you're making now, but if you say you get a promotion, that piece of the promotion would have to be on the 8%. I'd like to see that one passed.
Isn't the immediate problem because this state law from 2011 was overturned and that allowed cities to change the pension formula, and the courts tossed that out because it was unconstitutional,
right,
under the state constitution. So
right.
we're facing
a much bigger bill next year. Yeah, we're locked out. It's not like we can just change the pension system just like that. We only can do it within the parameters of that law. I believe that change could be made, but really that 5% pension we have of the civilian employees, it's non-public safety, there's at least 25-30% of them paying an adjustable rate. It's an 85-point system now. So the actuaries on that should pay for itself, and as soon as the 5%ers move through the system, we'll will eventually have a solvent defined benefit plan for that. Though, you know, I'm sure that most places are talking about deferred compensation. The bottom line is that we can't really do that.
In understanding that it's really not up to the city council to set how much it pays into the pension fund, but that the pension board, the state pension board, sets that funding level? Here's how much you need to pay in for the number of employees have.
We could basically say, well, we're not paying that, come to us. We could do that. We should do that, and then we'd lose in court and have to pay more.
Okay.
here's the deal, man. I don't think this is going to get decided in Tucson. I think this is going to be a situation where one of those jurisdictions, like San Bernardino County or Barstow, California, wherever, that's already declared bankruptcy, and the bill's coming due because they're paying.
Well, we lost Paul, but if we are going to lose him, it's really a good point, because this is time for our first break. And Mari, we will definitely get to your first question for Councilman Cunningham after we take the break. It is 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Tom, let's go to the first break and hear from the folks who make our show possible. We will be right back with Councilman Cunningham.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. When you step out of your shower, you expect to be refreshed and, of course, cleaner than when you stepped in, right? The fact is, hard water builds up on your shower doors, stalls, fixtures, faucets, and on you. Let's be honest. If it's on your shower door and fixtures, it's on your skin, your hair, appliances, and plumbing too. What a mess. But take it from me, save yourself a lot of trouble, money, and headaches by saying, hey, Culligan man, Culligan has been solving water concerns for over 60 years. Our Culligan representative will do a system evaluation to ensure you get the right solution for your home and family. It doesn't matter whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Try a Culligan water system for only $9.95 per month on the first three rental payments with an annual service agreement. Call us at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We have on the Buckmaster Show live line Tucson Vice Mayor Paul Cunningham. He is also council member in Ward 2, a Democrat. Dylan Smith is with me in studio from TucsonSentinel.com and Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly. And Mari has been sitting here through our first segment. She didn't get a chance to ask Councilman a question, so she is up to the plate. And I know we were talking about pensions, but we're going to switch gears here. So, Mari, go ahead.
Councilman Cunningham, that's interesting. The city of Tucson recently became the first municipality to remove questions on criminal history in the online job application. And I think we've heard from media reports of, you know, Richard Fimbres chimed in and Martha Durkin gave history of how this came about. Can you give us an opinion on how you feel about where this is going for the city, and do you feel comfortable about it?
I had no problem voting for it. It doesn't mean we're not going to do our due diligence. We're not going to be hiring, rapists and murderers to take care of kids. It's nothing like that at all. I actually completely support this notion. I think all of us in this community, to some degree, our lives are a series of second chances. And everybody deserves a second chance. I fully believe that. And I completely support the ban the box. I hope that everybody in the country goes for it. I think you'll find that you'll probably get a much more wide and probably quality field of applicants in any job that you put out there.
The process of it, I know I've heard some folks chime in that concerns that it may increase the costs associated with the application process sometimes in terms of how far the applicant goes and could delay some jobs from getting filled. But
I'd be really surprised if the cost goes up. I mean, I can't imagine. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in human resources anyway, which I know we are, considering the money we spend in that department, I'm sure I can't see that cost going up any higher.
Councilman Cunningham, I want to ask you about the tower that has been proposed, 20-story tower on East Speedway and North Campbell. The council seems to be on board with this, but the university is not. What is the status of that tower project?
The neighbors thought it was a good collaborative process. I think that there's some discussions that need to be had with the university administration. And as far as I'm concerned, what's good for Tucson is what's good for the university and vice versa. So hopefully we can have a meeting of the minds and come up with a program that works for both parties. But the bottom line is that the process that we went through, well, that the developer went through in meeting with neighbors, collaborating with the community, trying to be as open as possible on what was planned, I thought was a model for how things could be done in the future. The other piece is that when we're talking about 20 stories, it's a slim 20 stories. You're cutting out some of the cubic space that could be occupied, the actual cubic volume of the existing building. We just built it. I think it's 12 stories on the whole plot that's there. We're basically cutting out some of those and stacking them. So it it may look a little different, and maybe there'll be some architectural features in there that'll make it one of the signature buildings in Tucson. So I think it's pretty early in the process as the engineering and the architectural things come out. I think people will really get excited about this project.
I'd like to see that actually be true, Councilman Cunningham. I mean, I'm sad to say I'm one of those people that isn't such a big fan of driving by the Cadence and wonder often what in the world happened when it came to how that was decided to put something like up next to historical structures.
Lego box downtown.
Luckily, though, you don't really have that going on, but I know a lot of people were pretty happy that the city was much more transparent in working with the developer on this project with the neighbors than it was with the West University folks.
Well, yeah, I mean, and again, going back to, we can revisit the Cadence project 30 times and look at all the things that went wrong and what went right, as far as whether or not it was a good idea or bad idea. There's points all around, I think every single time a city goes through a little kind of, it goes through a spurt where we're trying to do some things that weren't done for a long time, and you're going to have things where there's certain people who say, well, that doesn't make any sense. There are still people who, you know, I grew up in Midtown, and people look at the Great Western Bank building, which is now, I guess they call it 5555 Broadway or whatever it is.
Right.
And they say, what's that doing right there? You know, and we're always going to have those things, but at the end of the day, we're trying to make this streetcar work right. Trying to build the density that we need. We're doing. I can promise you that every single council member that I'm working with right now is doing the best they can to make sure this works right and the neighbors' wishes are respected. We're going through that process. We've been going through that process on Grant Road. We're definitely going through that process with the Sunshine Mile. And you're not necessarily going to get consensus on every single project, but you know, sometimes, as a city improves, certain things need to be done. And I want walkways and landscaping and bike paths and transit lanes. I also want high density on the streetcar line. And I also want, you know, I want neighbors to be respected. I don't want to kill anybody's view. I think that's one of the things in Tucson that definitely is sensitive. People like their views of the Catalina, and we got to respect that, too. And that's tricky when you're building 20 stories.
Councilman, I want to go to the Buckmaster Show live line because Dan has been waiting patiently to ask you a question about downtown. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you very much. Yes, I have been concerned now for years about that hotel that's just going to sit there and rot. It's right on the streetcar line. It's a beautiful piece of property. Are taxes being paid on that property? And if not, then why doesn't the city or county take it over and make apartments or condominiums out of it?
Dan, I wish we could talk about this for 3.5 hours. You're right on the money on that.
We have 3.5 minutes.
Everybody agrees it's a blemish. Everybody wants something to happen. To the best of my knowledge, the landowner who is, I'm 99% sure, unless something has changed recently and we're talking about a different slot. I'm pretty sure we're talking about the Hotel Arizona property, which used to be the Radisson, and before that was the Holiday Inn, which is owned by HSL. And I talked to them about it. I've talked to Mr. Morales or Mr. Lopez at least 6 or 7 times in the last year. Hey, how can I help? And they're trying to work through their motions too. I think there's some history with regard to the Rio Nuevo's bids that went out with other issues. I'm probably not privy to, and I'd really like to see that property be transformed. From what I understand, HSL now owns La Placita, which is adjacent. So I think they could probably do something special there, but they're going to have to get their engineers in and see kind of how they're going to go about it.
Are the taxes being paid on it?
Yes, to my knowledge, yes. I mean, I haven't gone to the assessor site and actually looked up the property to see if they were delinquent, but I'm pretty sure property taxes.
Well, when we bring
99% sure. Okay.
When we bring people into Tucson, everyone looks at that stupid hotel and thinks, boy, if a city can't even fix that. But that was a beautiful hotel that they let run down, and we can't even fix that. I mean, the city is just in bad shape.
It doesn't look good. You're right, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Dylan, you haven't had a question this segment, and I've got 1 minute. Do you have something short?
1 minute?
Yeah.
It'd probably take me that long to ask a question.
I know. Give me something short. Give me something concise. And
well, on that hotel, I mean, what can the city do to get that moving?
Well, the only thing that we can do is probably send an inspector there every day, find whatever we can go and find the property owner. That's about our limit for whatever code violation they may be in. But again, that would be dishonest too, because those code violations are complaint driven. That means that a citizen who lives nearby would have to actually file the complaint and know in fact what code violations there are. And I don't know if that's good faith either. I mean, we're not in a leverage game with that property owner yet. If we get into a leverage game where we want to try to force his hand, that's one thing, and that it may come to that. But right now, I think we got to just collaborate with them and say, "Hey, what are the solutions you need? And what can we do that's within the parameters of the law that isn't going to be part of the GIP clause, where no one's going to question a lack of integrity or transparency? What can we do to help you make that project work?"
All right, Councilman Paul Cunningham, Vice Mayor, City of Tucson. Thank you for spending some of your lunch hour with us today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the chili cook-off. Enjoy the Houghton Road block party on the east side. And go Wildcats. Bear down.
There you go. And the chili cook-off, is a lot of folks look forward to that every year.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's a great place to go and enjoy chili. And
I'm
it's
getting hungry already.
Cause, yeah,
beer,
I know.
They got some beer there.
It's lunch hour.
No, I'm thirsty, too.
12:31 on The Buckmaster Show, Friday Focus. Well, Roundtable is next, and let's hear now from the folks who make this program possible. Please give them your support.
My flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our Friday Roundtable, 12:35 on this Friday afternoon. Mari Herreras is here from the Tucson Weekly. She is a staff writer. In fact, she has a cover story right now prominently displayed all around town on the Weekly. About
it's very colorful.
Yeah.
And, cover as well.
You had to put that together pretty quickly because that all came down Friday.
It's what we call a color cover. I mean, really, it was just, you know, a chance for us to, I always look at it from the writer perspective in a very selfish way, that it's a chance for us to be there and be present at these great moments when you're weekly and take advantage of them and be able to write about it any way you want. That's what we can do.
Hey, Dylan, I think that we're going to see some very close races, and it's just kind of a gut feeling I have that some of these probably will not be decided right away.
Well,
by right away, I mean
election night.
Yeah, election night.
Given Pima County's history of not getting results, complete results in on election night, that's, you know, probably accurate. Even if they're not going to be close races, we just don't know. You know, there might be enough votes out that we don't even have an idea in a landslide vote.
I wonder if we can recommend they can get a drone from Ajo to bring them in or something. That might be something to think about.
Well, there might be some close races. You know, certainly, you know, if there were polls showing one of the, you know, McSally or Barber far ahead, they would be touting that to the skies, and neither camp is really talking about their internal polling too much. So, you know, to me, that lack of crowing about it indicates that the polls that they have are showing that it's going to be close.
We had a debate, I guess it's the last debate of the nine candidates, or I guess eight showed up at the TUSD. One candidate doesn't come to these events.
Francis Saida.
But anyway, it was the last kind of event with the TUSD candidates together. What's your sense on that race?
I think that'll be an interesting close race in terms of Adelita Grijalva being the incumbent and keeping her seat. And the great thing about that last debate, if you missed it, it's too bad. It was a lively, for the first time, most of these are done in a fashion because you have so many candidates, you know. And in this case,
at least this one was only eight people lined up.
It was only, Well, and also Phil Lopez.
Sometimes there are a dozen people running. And
true, but they came up with a different method. And I think Jen Darlin and I think Betts Putnam Hidalgo will be the people, the top votes. But I think it's going to be pretty
those are
close.
That's who you believe will win?
I do. But I also think, you know, Grijalva has an edge here as an incumbent that has been there and has history and an understanding of the district.
And Hicks?
Oh, Hicks.
I know you're a big fan. Do you think he's got a shot at re-election?
I don't, but maybe that's just me being...
Is that your personal
That's my personal,
take,
yeah,
jumping
right.
In?
Hey,
yeah.
I want to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Our friend Jim Nintzel, who is also one of our contributors here on our Friday Roundtable, joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. First of all, Jim, happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm 3019 and feeling every day of it.
Hey, a quick plug for your new TV show, which is on at 9:30 in the morning on Channel 9, Sunday mornings, Zona Politics.
Yeah, I'm following in Dylan's footsteps there with trying a little nonprofit news organization on the side of what I'm doing, still doing it for Tucson Weekly with Mari, who, by the way, did a great job on the cover story this week, Mari. And created a little nonprofit organization that is putting out this TV show, and we certainly hope to get a website up and going here pretty soon, but wanted to get on the air and catch a little bit of the end of this election season. So this week we've got Fred Duvall coming in to talk with us on a one-on-one, and followed up by a panel discussion about the week's news with Leah Marquez Peterson and Jeff Rogers. And Bill, I can't thank you enough for teaching me the ropes of the TV game back in the day when we were on Arizona Illustrated together, and it's a great deal of fun to be back on the air.
Yeah, it's kind of what we did on Arizona Illustrated, what you're doing, and then what you later did on Arizona Illustrated. So, but now you're in the commercial marketplace, and I know you're happy with our friends at Channel 9 have been real good to you, too.
Oh, they've been great over there. Very supportive. I was actually over there this morning on the morning blend and got to talk with the folks over there. They've been great. Working with the folks at Brink.com, a creative agency to actually put the show together down at Access Tucson. And it's just been an amazing outpouring of support to help me get this thing off the ground. And I feel like a tiny chick that's just starting to peck at that eggshell. And certainly hope. Do chickens fly? I guess they don't.
There you go.
Hey, Jim. Get up into the air here soon.
Jim, while we have you on the phone, you know we've been talking a little bit about, I think there are going to be some real close races not decided the next day even. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. You know, I think this Barbara McSally race, you know, the last two cycles in when Gabby ran against Jesse Kelly and when Ron ran against Martha McSally last time, we were still counting votes long after Election Day. So I think that one is likely to be close again. Especially given the challenges in all the early ballots that come in kind of late and need to be sorted out. And, you know, there's an interesting thing going on with that District 1 race with Ann Kirkpatrick and Andy Tobin. There's now talk that this Navajo election may be postponed up there on the reservation.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, you know, if that happens, I think that's a big blow to the Democrats' hopes of doing well, because they're really counting
it may be postponed. It may be back on. You know, the Navajo Supreme Court said postpone their portion of the election, their presidential election, but then their legislature basically tossed out the Navajo language requirement for their presidential candidates last night. So it might be back on again. We don't even know how that's going to shake out.
Yeah.
So that's huge. That's huge for the District 1 race, and it's huge also, I believe, for the Duvall and the governor race too, as well.
Yeah, I think all the Democratic statewide races are hoping for some turnout up there, because the Democrats tend to do well in that area.
All right, Jim, we're going to let you go because we've got another caller on the live line. Good luck with the TV show Sunday 9:30 in the morning on Channel 9, Zona Politics. Thanks, Jim, and happy birthday, buddy.
Hey, thanks so much, and thanks for the opportunity. We'll talk soon.
Okay, Jim Nintzel of The Weekly, and now with his own TV show again. Matthew, you are up to the plate now on the Buckmaster Live Line. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping your guest would comment maybe on, you know, a subject that I know you know very well, and that's today's Arizona Daily Star regarding the Cherry Bell closure and the OIG report. And the part that got me about it was a wonderful article, whoever did that, and the part that got me was the business owner who said, you know, we didn't end up near a Cherry Bell station by accident.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if any of your commentators had any thoughts about, you know, the potential closure and how that's going to, you know, drive attention between now and the election and then after the election. It's going to be a short time period between after the election, and it looks like as early as January we could see them actually taking actions against Cherry Bell.
Well, I'm actually glad Matthew brings this up, Mari and Dylan, because as a small business person who goes to the mailbox every day and sometimes looks for, all the time, looks to make sure that the cash flow is happening, a couple of days can make a big difference.
Well, we've already seen, you know, a pretty dramatic change in, you know, mail delivery times. Mm-hmm. So much of the sorting is getting done up in Phoenix. You know, stuff will get collected here, taken up to Phoenix, sorted, then taken back down to Tucson. So, you know, it used to be you could get a letter across town overnight.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, 2-3 days, sometimes even more than that. I've had, you know, some rather important pieces of mail that have taken more than a week to get from L.A. to my house. And, it does not bode well for the Postal Service being able to compete in this market.
And we are, Mari, I believe, the largest city in the United States that would not have a mail processing center.
I think this
can have all sorts of implications when companies think about doing business, starting a business in Tucson, and they discover that, well, you don't have a mail center,
right,
a postmark that says even Tucson.
Yeah, right, exactly. I read the same story this morning, too, about a former Tucson Weekly intern. But I think that one of the things I was thinking when I was reading it was that, you know, the postal workers at the time this was happening were very vocal about that. And I just don't think your normal average person out there really understood the situation. And if we did, and maybe hopefully just understanding how the process itself was not handled correctly, the lack of transparency involved, maybe that'll get folks interested more. Matthew, I would hope so, but mm-hmm. Tucson can be weird that way, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm still on, but...
Yeah, you are.
One other thing I was going to bring up was, you know, the GEM show. You know, we have these events that occur in Tucson, and a lot of people, you know, if you're doing the GEM show, a lot of those people send a lot of stuff by mail. Mm-hmm. It's just economical to fill up one of those USPS boxes and send your stuff by mail. And then when you always send more down to Tucson, and then, you know, it's just that we have these things that occur in Tucson that are just absolutely critical to the economic environment, and they involve the Cherry Bell Station in one way or another. And it's just, I just can't understand how population size this close to the, you know, all the issues that we're bringing up still is literally at the bottom of the totem pole.
Okay, Matthew, thank you very much for weighing in and bringing that issue up. Interesting piece, just about out of time, but Dylan in the Sentinel, point people in the direction of TucsonSentinel.com. It was an interesting story, and I didn't see it anywhere else, about national parks and national monuments in Arizona. Attendance is down about 20%, and there was some speculation. Younger people now, they want a video, and they don't even really care that much about going out and experiencing this.
It's over a pretty long period of time, but
would you rather see a video of the Grand Canyon or the Saguaro National Park than actually stand there and be there?
That's such an important part of our economy, tourism, and that's somebody that brings in so much money, and to see that drop
cost,
in such an enormous fashion.
Is it the cost of getting to those places that's prohibited for that age group, or just the lack of really wanting to experience that?
I really don't know what the root cause of it is, but it's not that expensive to go to a national park and wander around.
Right.
No, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I'm just saying, that's what we did with my 13-year-old. He's been dragged and camped and road tripped.
Yeah, we get there one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's economically not is a problem, people want to see these things. All right, Dylan and Mari, thank you both very much. I hope you both have a great weekend.
You too.
You too.
All right, coming up now on 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show, we've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. That'll be coming up after this commercial break. Back right after this.
Your car doesn't define you. It simply defines your sense of style. At Plutus Motor Group, we offer individually selected automobiles, including fine European imports, because we appreciate your unique tastes. What defines us is our discerning sense of quality, integrity, and a simplicity you'll find refreshing. Visit Plutus Motor Group and visit our collection. Plutus Motor Group. It's the experience. PlutusMotorGroup.com.
Ah,
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
All right, it is time for the weekend. When we hear that music, of course, we mean it is Weekend Watch. Weekend Watch is brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Enjoy the solitude of the Gila National Wilderness, the nation's first wilderness. And Silver City, so much to do. So if you're looking for a great weekend getaway, it's just 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. You can go antiquing. Check out the galleries in historic Silver City, the downtown galleries, antique stores, museums, and restaurants. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. And you can also find on their website the complete list of great places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn. Weekend Watch is hosted by Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist. In fact, they just won a stack of new awards. Congratulations to Matt, who is also the Tucson Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for the kudos on the awards. And I tell you, we're planning our culinary and cocktail moments this weekend. And with all that's in store, I think it's time to let out another notch in the old Buckmaster belt this weekend. I'm so excited.
And we always like to start Weekend Watch with kind of a look at maybe a nice happy hour that folks can get involved with. What do we got this week?
Absolutely. You know, another Wilcox area winery has opened up a tasting room right here in Tucson, and we thought a little Friday afternoon wine tasting would be the perfect way to kick off another great weekend. It's the Sierra Bonita Vineyards Tasting Room, and it's located on right off Tancredi Road near the entrance to the Tucson Country Club. Now, the tasting runs from about 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., and for only $12, you can enjoy respectable pours of a couple of their signature wines and add along some appetizers to go along with them. I say get on over to their tasting room this afternoon and enjoy some great Arizona wine.
That's the Sierra Bonita Vineyards Tasting Room.
Absolutely. Right on Camino Principal near the Tucson Country Club.
It's chili season, Matt.
It sure is. And if it's fiery chilies, decadent chocolate, and creative salsas you're after, then Tohono O'Toole Park is the place to be tomorrow and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now, these foods, as you know, definitely define life here in the Southwest, and you'll find everything from hand-ground moles and chili-flavored beers to chili roasters, edible chili plants, and, of course, rich, dark chocolate. Now, they're adding face painting for the kids and some live mariachi entertainment. They're going to bring some extra sizzle to the event, so I say chilies, chocolate, and salsa should be on your weekend calendar, Bill.
How about a nice brunch, Matt?
Yeah, as you know, Bill, brunch has always been one of my favorite meals of the week, and our friends at 47 Scott in downtown Tucson have just launched a new brunch menu that's making my mouth water, Southern-style hot chicken and buttermilk waffles, biscuits and gravy with fried eggs and house-made sausage, and of course their take on huevos rancheros with house-made chorizo. These are just a few of the new additions, and these folks celebrate brunch on both Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 47 North Scott Avenue is where you're going to find them. So I say, prepare for brunch Buckmaster style at 47 Scott this weekend.
Matt, what's going on at Inside Tucson Business with your column this week?
Yeah, with Halloween coming up next week, Bill, there's one local restaurant that has just revealed its most frightening menu to date, and it is sure to elicit a scream or two before you even pick up a fork. It's all in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. Now, be afraid, Bill. Be very, very afraid.
And you, of course, got out the Halloween costume already?
Of course. You know, I don't know if the Speedo is going to be in this year's rotation. That would be enough to scare all the kids in the community. But anyway, we always look forward to Halloween. Some great entertainment and culinary experiences for every personality and palate. We just love the holiday.
You know, Matt, quickly here, I've got about a minute left. I do want to ask you, actually, I've got about 2 minutes left, so I wanted to ask you, Gary Nabhan spoke last night downtown at an interesting presentation about how Tucson has become really kind of a food center for this region, and the United Nations UNESCO is actually looking at making this kind of a food capital. That should not come as a surprise to people like you who love the food scene.
Yeah, absolutely. We celebrate the fact that Tucson has really become, after years, Bill, a genuine food community. And I think you speak about Gary Nabhan, and he's one of my heroes. And he celebrates the sense of place that has defined Tucson as a food town. And when you think about some of the native foods that, frankly, have been prepared in this part of the country for thousands of years, I mean, we're really leveraging that and really finding new and creative ways to incorporate these native plants and native seeds into modern-day cooking. It's something that has been here all along, and it's just so fun to see the fascinating uses for local foods that have been here, and we continue to see them in use all across menus across Southern Arizona. It's something to celebrate indeed.
And this slow food movement is catching on, isn't it, with the local restaurateurs?
Yeah, and I would say it's about time. I mean, when you think about what sort of the fast food culture has done to the culinary movement, it's kind of sad. But if we were just to take some time to slow down, and I know, Bill, you think that I can't slow down,
down, but I love mindful eating, slow food. It's the rich, it's the cultural heritage, it's the legacy, it's the stories that go with food. And through the slow food movement, I think we can really begin to appreciate the gift that we have right here, as I said, with local foods all across this community.
All right, Matt Russell, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend. Again, congratulations to Russell Public Communication for the awards that you won, and all the best to you.
Thanks so much, Bill. Take care.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. That is our producing home company, which is wholly responsible for its content on behalf of our team, the folks here at KVOI, especially Ed Alexander and Tom Fairbanks, and our ever lovely and present executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster. I wish you a wonderful and safe weekend, and I want to remind you that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan, all of our in-studio guests here, and all of the folks at KVOI. Enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. In fact, I'm on my second bottle already today. We've got weekend talk. We like to call it expert talk, and it really gets underway here at about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and runs really right on through Sunday. So we've got a lot of local talk for you. Then we do it all over again. Wake up Tucson 6 to 8, and then 4 Tucson at 4, and then the Buckmaster Show 1204 on behalf of our team here. Have a great weekend.